From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives to the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching it, like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. Goal. Touchdown. Michigan State wins it in overtime.
Good afternoon, my good people. It's Wednesday, June 5th, 2013. That's right, hump day. Hope you all are staying productive out there. Glad you are tuned into Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, and we have another fantastic show for you all today. As always, tons of ground to cover. The Diamond Classic now has its final two teams set to get it on. For all of the marbles later on tonight, another scandal is plaguing the world of baseball, and this one could be the biggest in the game's history. And the Tigers put on quite a show last night. We also continue our discussion on the decline of black baseball players over the years in Major League Baseball. You don't want to miss this show. Current Sports starts now. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, before we kick off the show, a big thanks goes out to you out there, that's right, who have been tuning into your radios or online, listening faithfully day in and day out to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Be a part of the hands-on discussion each and every single day. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin, WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at lmartin@wkar.org. Hit us up, ladies and gents. We want to hear what's on your mind. So today, we continue our discussion on the lack of African-Americans in the game of baseball. Now, just to give a quick recap, on Monday, we had the pleasure of welcoming Leland Stein to the show. Leland is a longtime sports writer for the Michigan Chronicle. He helped us kick off our discussion as to why black baseball players have declined over the years in the major leagues, citing reasons such as lack of youth baseball programs in urban cities and socioeconomic issues. Now, many of you called in that day and expressed your thoughts on the issue, and we certainly encourage that today. And yesterday, we talked with Terry Foster of WXYT-FM The Ticket. Now, Terry gave some great insight into the reasons why black youth don't want to participate in athletics. He talked about, well, baseball, that is. He talked about how in the black community, baseball is not looked at as cool. And even his own son, guys, won't play it and actually plays soccer instead. Wow. So today, we give you a more local aspect to this discussion. Tim Walker, that's right, he's the head baseball coach, that is, over at Lansing Everett High School. His first year, which is composed of composed mostly of African American kids. Tim, welcome to Current Sports, man.
Thanks, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. So let's dive right into this thing. So you're the coach over there at Lansing Everett. What is the thought process of the African American baseball players that you have over at Everett when it comes to baseball?
At Everett, it seems like baseball is a kind of like a fringe sport almost when you compare it to football and basketball. Mm-hmm. Those are the two really popular ones, the ones that they're playing in gym class all the time. And baseball is just kind of this, it's almost like soccer to the rest of the country. It's a respectable sport, but it's just not the popular one to play. And that's kind of the feel that I've been getting from it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Tim Walker, head baseball coach over at Lansing Everett High School. So, Tim, when you have these one-on-one discussions with the African-American youth there, and they talk about how, you know, basketball and football is clearly the more popular sport in their eyes, I mean, why is the reason for that you see?
I think a lot of it has to do, and this is something that Leland touched on Monday, mm-hmm. is that there's just not the role models when it comes to baseball like there is with football and basketball. You know, they're always constantly exposed to, you know, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Adrian Peterson, stuff like that.
Right.
They're in commercials for all kinds of different stuff. They're heavily shown on SportsCenter with their highlights. But then you got baseball, and there's just a severe lack of advertising with baseball players. ESPN's kind of glossing over baseball more and more,
yeah.
and they're focusing more on especially football. So I think that's a lot of the cause with that.
Very, very true. Now, Tim, first of all, let's go into your background when it comes to the game of baseball. When did you start playing? And this is your first year. Talk about how you got into this role as a first-year head coach over at Lansing Everett High School.
Sure. I started playing just in my front yard. You know, my dad would set up a tee, 3 years old, running outside of my diaper, you know, knocking the baseball around all day.
Right.
And then I joined a league a couple years later and played all the way through high school. I always kind of knew I wanted to be a baseball coach, wanted to be a teacher. So when I finished up in high school, I went to MSU, got my degree there, and then, as luck would have it, baseball job opens up in Everett. I applied, and I got it, luckily. So,
ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Tim Walker, first-year head coach over at Lansing Everett High School. Now, Tim, when you look at the Lansing Everett High School baseball program, before you, even now, it's really struggling. What state was in the program before you took over it?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What was the state of the program before you took over it?
It's been kind of rocky. From what I've understood, there's been a large influx of various different varsity coaches. The JV program's been pretty stable for a while. But just really struggling to get kids to consistently show up and come out, and then not having, like, one coach to have his system put in place. Mm-hmm. Where they can, you know, consistently learn the same things over and over again, has really, really plagued the system over there and made things really tough.
So when you look at your program, this is not just an issue as far as African-American kids coming out to play baseball for your team, but this is just a lack of interest in general as far as all kinds of kids to try to play baseball there, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. It seems like with a lot of different urban schools, baseball is really starting to lag behind the other ones. And I think there's a bunch of different reasons for that. But, yeah, I mean, it's a big problem just across the board, getting kids interested and committed to putting in that kind of time and effort with a game that they probably don't have a whole lot of exposure to begin with.
If you're just now joining us, folks, we're talking with Tim Walker, the head baseball coach over at Lansing Everett High School. Now, Tim, I've been in the area covering a lot of high school sports over the years in the Lansing area, and I've noticed that the Lansing School District specifically really struggles when it comes to baseball against other schools, such as Okemos and DeWitt, Grand Ledge. Games are only lasting for 5 or even 3 innings due to the mercy rule with you guys. Why is this so?
I think the biggest reason is playing experience. A lot of the kids in the Lansing area, they don't have the same opportunities of Okemos kids or Grand Ledge kids to start playing when they're younger, and then they don't get to play as much throughout the school year. Just this summer here, we're, for the first time in a while, giving kids an opportunity to play summer baseball, which is a huge problem. I mean, if we're only playing for 2 months out of the year, mm-hmm. and everywhere else in the area is playing, you know, 4 to 5 months, you know, that sets us back to begin with. But then, mm-hmm. considering the fact that they weren't playing when they were 6, 7, 8, you know, we're even further behind. So that's the biggest one is playing opportunities and playing a long period of time throughout the year. And then the other one is just inequality when it comes to fields and equipment and all of that. For example, Lansing Everett, our field is in really rough shape. It's kind of been going downhill the last few years. We've got a lot of lit. You can't get a clean ground ball on that field. They just shoot up and
wow.
potentially smack a kid in the face and all this other stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, just between playing opportunities and then just not having the same facilities and equipment that everyone else has, it makes it pretty tough.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Tim Walker, head baseball coach over at Lansing Everett High School. So, Tim, you talk about the challenge as far as equipment goes and the playing surface and the field that you guys play on. Are there steps being made to change this in the future, in the near future?
Absolutely. Like I was saying, we're finally giving the kids a chance to play some summer baseball this year. That's a collection of Sexton. We've got some Everett guys, a couple of guys out of East Lansing coming together to play. Now that I've got a year under my belt and I'm getting a little more stabilized in the area, I'm hoping to open up more opportunities, maybe get Everett its own team in the future. And then the field, it's just going to be hard work trying to get all that squared away and make that, a sense of pride for Everett instead of kind of an eyesore and something that's holding us back. Try to get it all worked out, make it something the kids are proud in, something they can, go to work every day and be happy to be out on the baseball field.
Very, very true. Now, Tim, looking at your team and looking at just the Lansing area in general, when you talk about schools such as Sexton and schools such as Lansing Eastern, I mean, there are a large amount of African-American kids who are on these baseball teams that are really struggling. Really, really struggling. A lot of that has to do with grabbing them at the youth and, their starting time when it comes to the game of baseball in general. Now, for you guys are really struggling. Now, when you guys play these other teams, like I said, like an Okemos, DeWitt, and Grand Ledge, I mean, sometimes it's not even close. Should something be done, in your eyes, should something be done to change this as far as maybe combining the programs into one? Have you guys talked about that at all? Do you think that's even a viable option? Do you think that should happen?
I'm not sure if that really needs to be what happens. I do kind of feel like we maybe need to reconsider how we decide which teams we're playing. So right now, obviously, Lansing, having a large number of students, we're a bigger school, so we're going to be in a higher division with Grand Ledge, with Okemos and stuff like that.
Right.
So, I mean, we're all big schools, so that means we should all play each other. But when you think about it and you look at the inequalities that the Lansing schools have to deal with and the inexperience, it just kind of sets up a situation where you've got maybe four or five teams that are the haves that are going to be really good, and then they're just going to beat up on the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it really tough for us to keep kids, staying positive and staying invested in it. And then, for Grand Ledge to be playing games where they're mercying after three innings, that's not a whole lot of fun for them either.
Right.
So I don't know if combining the schools necessarily would be the answer for a team. I think it's just a lot about really establishing a quality program, giving it a couple years to work itself out, get the quality of play up a little bit, and then maybe finding out another way of determining what teams we're putting on our schedule, stuff like that.
Right. Tim Walker, head baseball coach over at Lansing Everett High School. So looking at this thing from the root cause, Tim, what do you feel is the root problem concerning the decline of African-American baseball players over time?
I think it'd be really tricky to just boil it down to one thing. I think it's just a combination of them not getting the opportunities when they're young to develop a passion for it, develop a love for the game, to where they want to be playing it no matter what, mixed with the fact that it's just not the top popular sport. So, I mean, if football is the game that everyone wants to play, you're probably not going to invest a whole lot of time in baseball, especially when you haven't been playing it to begin with. Whereas football, you've been watching it since you were a little kid, throwing the football out in the yard, looking up to your role models and wanting to emulate them.
Right, very true. Now, do you see this change kind of becoming a change in the future very soon? Or is this going to take some time?
I think it's going to take a little bit of time. I'm really hoping that the drop in participation is just a cyclical thing, and in a couple of years it's going to rebound and we'll be back to the numbers we were at.
Right.
I guess it's been a while now, but get the participation up to where I feel it should be. So I'm really hoping to just plugging away hard work year after year after a few years, it'll catch up some speed and start picking up more and more people.
Tim Walker, head baseball coach over at Lansing Everett High School. Now, this is your first year, Tim. in your first year, looking at your first season, what did you learn the most looking at how you guys played?
I learned that, the culture of Lansing is very, very different from where I grew up and what I'm accustomed to. So there's an adjustment period there.
In what way?
Well, I'm from Eden Rapids, very rural, not an extremely diverse area. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that, you know, I had been playing baseball this whole time, so I kind of understood, you know, the intricacies and just kind of the way the game is played. And that's just not the case in Lansing. That's all stuff that I need to kind of teach, and I wasn't expecting to have to teach that kind of thing.
Right.
So it's just kind of, I guess the thing I learned is I can't be trying to run when we still need to learn how to walk, take some baby steps. And just, it's really all about getting kids interested and get the passion for baseball there. Once we've got that firmly established, then we can start worrying about wins and losses and improving the quality of play.
Now, when you look at your program, you talked about building that interest. Do you have to, is it to the point where you have to go out and kind of recruit kids to come on the team?
Absolutely, yeah.
It is at that point, okay.
It is. I had probably five or six of the guys on the team this year tell me that if I hadn't been walking around in the cafeteria at the beginning of the school year saying, hey, you need to come out, try out for baseball, it's going to be a lot of fun, mm-hmm. then they just wouldn't have done it. So
wow.
Yeah, it's just not really in their mind as something they want to do unless you seek them out and say, hey, I think you'd be really good at this. Give it a try. It'll be some fun for you and give you something to do after school. Not going to get into trouble. Only good stuff can come from it. So definitely recruiting has been a big reason why we had a pretty good turnout for the tryouts this year after being down the last couple of years.
Wow, that is unbelievable, Tim, when you look at that. And you physically have to go out there and recruit kids to come out on the baseball team. It just shows you the state of where the game is right now. But when you look at other schools, though, like a Grand Ledge, who's been a powerhouse for year after year, and in Okemos, and, you know, I can go on, you don't see that. So it makes it kind of challenging for you then, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, those programs are at a point now where they're just going to be reloading all the time with talent that's been in the system and stuff like that, and we don't have that luxury just yet. So it's all about trying to just get the word out there that we've even got a baseball team. That was one thing I was surprised about. I had a couple of students when I said, hey, I'm the baseball coach. Well, we have a baseball team? I didn't know that.
Really?
So, I mean,
wow.
Yeah, just trying to get the word out there and just let them know, hey, you got this option, this awesome game that you can play. It's been around a long time, extremely rich history. And in my opinion, it's the best sport in the world. So just trying to encourage that has been the big thing.
Tim Walker, the head baseball coach, first year head baseball coach over at Lansing Everett High School. Now, Tim, when you look at this, were you expecting this at all, going out and having to recruit kids? Is this kind of overwhelming for you?
It is a little bit. It definitely wasn't something I was expecting to have to do. But at the same time, it gives me a chance to talk with kids that don't know a whole lot about baseball, and obviously baseball is a passion of mine. So even if I have to talk to 100 kids and I can get just one of them even considering playing, or maybe I can get their interest up enough for them to check out a couple games, something like that, that makes it all worth it, even though it is quite a bit of work.
Now, Tim, that is admirable, because I know a lot of guys would just say, wow, this is too much work, let me move on. What keeps you motivated?
It keeps me, what motivates me is just trying to get as many people to love baseball as possible. It bothers me that we've got this sport that's the national pastime, and it just seems to be declining in popularity all the time. It's kind of, I hear a lot of kids mocking it because it's slower paced and it's boring and this, but, really baseball is really just a thinking man's game. You know, you got to have your head in it all the time. You got to know what pitch might be coming at you, where to go with the baseball. If it's a pop-up, it's different than if it's a line drive, different than a ground ball, what you're going to do. So it's just about trying to get kids to realize what a great game it is, how interesting and fun it is. That's what keeps me going.
Now, Tim, I got to ask you this too, man. You talked about kids struggling to come out and play on the team just to build that interest. Has there been any success stories as far as finding a kid who has no interest whatsoever in the game of baseball, recruiting them, they come out on the team, and they ended up being a great player?
I don't know about great player, but just successes with I'll give one example. I have a foreign exchange student from Germany on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And baseball is not at all popular in Germany. They don't really have teams, so he's never really played at all. And he's one of the kids I recruited in the lunchroom and just said, hey, I think you should come out, try out. You know, what's the worst that could happen? So he did. He tried out, and he actually made varsity. He was on the team the whole year. And it's not like he set the world on fire or anything like that, but just having this kid, you know, that had never played before come in, he learned how to catch a fly ball properly, learned how to crow hop and get a throw into second base. I'll never forget his very first at-bat. He takes this monster cut, and he hits a little dribbler down the third baseline, and he beat it out for his first base hit. that made it all worth it. It was awesome.
Wow. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Tim Walker, first-year head baseball coach over at Lansing Everett High School. Now, Tim, the big news today, and probably for quite some time now, that just broke, Tony Bosch and his listing of players who took performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, names that include Alex Rodriguez, Ryan Braun, and even Johnny Peralta of the Tigers. What are your thoughts on that and how this whole steroid epidemic has really kind of diminished the game of baseball over time?
Yeah, I'm just getting really, really tired of the same old story. You know, guys that I've respected, looked up to, enjoy watching them play, and then they just always seem to let you down with bad decisions. I think it really is hurting the popularity of the sport. It's kind of like, you know, Lance Armstrong when he came out that
right.
He had been doping and stuff like that. It just kind of made you lose faith in him and all the great things that he did. And it's gotten to a point now with baseball where you just kind of assume just about everyone is dirty in some way, or if someone does something great, the first question is, well, was he doping when he did it or not? And that's really not what you want the first question to be when someone does something amazing. So I definitely think it's hurting the sport. And I think the kids that are looking up to the baseball players and seeing that, you know, it's definitely sending the wrong message, and we got to clean that up.
I was just about to ask you that. I mean, you're around kids all the time, especially your kids that play on Lansing Everett's baseball team. When kids see that their potential heroes are doping and involved in steroid scandals, I mean, what does that do to the perception of a kid looking at this?
Yeah, I mean, it sends the total opposite of the message that you try to instill as a coach. You know, you're trying to say that hard work pays off. You just got to put in the time and the effort, and you're going to see yourself improve. But then you've got these guys making millions of dollars that are just kind of taking the easy way out. And there's not a whole lot of punishment that's going along with it. I mean, sure, they might get a 100-game suspension this time, but that's not going to really hurt their paycheck at the end of the day. So just definitely the opposite of the lesson that you're trying to instill as a coach.
Talking with Tim Walker, head baseball coach, first-year baseball coach over at Lansing Everett High School. Now, Tim, if this investigation turns out to be valid, and it talks about this investigation being, it could blow up to be the biggest steroid scandal in the history of sports. If it turns out to be valid, what kind of damage will this do to the game?
I honestly am not really sure that it will do as much damage as it would have if this would have happened 5 years ago
mm-hmm.
or 7 years ago. I think a lot of people are just kind of desensitized to it at this point, especially like A-Rod. You know, we already knew that he'd been doping before, so
right.
The fact that he got busted again, you know, it's not really that big of a surprise. Ryan Braun, you know, 2 years ago, he got away on a technicality, and so now that his name's popping up again, I don't think a whole lot of people are too shocked. I just think it's just making people less and less trustful of professional athletes. But I don't know if it's going to really cripple the game as much as it might have just a couple of years ago.
All right, well, there you have it. Tim Walker, first-year head baseball coach over at Lansing Everett High School. Tim, it was certainly a pleasure. Thanks for coming on Current Sports Today and chatting with us, man.
Well, thanks for having me anytime. Enjoyed it a lot.
Thanks a lot, man. Take care.
All right, you too.
When we return to Current Sports, we will dive into our Current Sports section of the show. And I want to let you know, we'll be taking your calls at 1:40. We want to hear your thoughts on the steroid investigation that is going on in the MLB, the lack of African Americans in baseball, or anything that's on your mind, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on anything. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
Democrat Jim Graves follows Republican Michelle Bachmann out of the Minnesota House race. Missouri's 8th District chooses a member of Congress to replace Joanne Emerson. We remember the late Senator Frank Lautenberg, and Attorney General Eric Holder keeps clashing with congressional Republicans. I'm Ari Shapiro. Neil Conan returns with political junkie Ken Rudin. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Don't wanna be a player. Come out of playouts, crush a lot.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. And that tune you hear right there is Big Puns, I Don't Want to Be a Player No More. Some interesting things happening with Stephon Marbury and his whole cheating thing. We'll get into that later on. Later on we'll get into that. But we want to remind you all that we'll be taking your calls at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We want to hear what's on your mind. Let's dig in today's topics. Diamond Classic. Yes, Current Sports was there last night. In Game 1, Grand Ledge, the powerhouse, they topped Portland 7-4 to move on to today's championship game at Kircher Municipal Park. 7 o'clock is when the first pitch will be thrown in that one. We'll let you know who they will be playing, who Grand Ledge will be playing later on in just a sec. Now, again, this was Game 1 of yesterday's doubleheader. Grand Ledge advanced to its 6th consecutive championship game. They are certainly a powerhouse, 7-4 over Portland. Now, only once since 2000 has Grand Ledge not advanced to the championship game of the Capital Diamond Classic. Unbelievable stuff. And we just got off the phone with talking with Tim Walker, head coach over at Lansing Everett. And man, it's such a crazy dynamic when you look at a program like Grand Ledge in the Lansing area, then you look at a program like Lansing Everett, and to see just a tremendous difference in talent, really. But anyway, so only since 2000, Grand Ledge has not advanced the championship game of the Capital Diamond Classic. Portland scored twice in the bottom of the seventh. Now, this one was very close. Portland scored twice in the bottom of the seventh inning to tie things up at 4-4. So the bases were loaded with two outs, but Grand Ledge's Corbin Klaus struck out the Raiders' Colin Ginsterblum to send the game in extra innings. And Gabe Farr, man, this dude was incredible last night. He knocked in two runs with a triple in the ninth to win it for Grand Ledge. So this one was no walk in the park for Grand Ledge. Afterwards, we talked with Gabe Farr on the incredible hit, clutch hit. We talked with Pat O'Keefe, Grand Ledge head coach, about, I mean, just the dominance over the years. He has a lot of respect for Portland. And we also talked with John Davids. One incredible season for Portland. Check it out.
It's always tough to lose, but Jeezle Pete's, give these kids credit. They lost a tough game yesterday afternoon. And we talked about that on the bus today and said we're going up against the pride of Lansing in baseball and what Pat O'Keefe has done. And we certainly didn't embarrass ourselves tonight. I'm proud of these guys. And they proved a lot to not only themselves, but to me and a lot of people here today. So,
Coach, just safe to say this one more about pride than disappointment, then, huh?
I don't feel bad at all about this loss. I mean, I'm happy for these kids. We want to win. They want to win. They don't feel good about it. But they have nothing to hang their heads about. It's a great game for them. That's a great game and a great team and tough loss.
Oh, that team's as good a team as we played all year at any class, any place. So my hat's off to them. That was a fantastic effort on their part, and they battled back, and it was great baseball.
Pat, even with a game like this, it's a close game. How do you keep your guys poised in a game like this? Tight game in the extra innings. Talk about that. What was the message?
Well, you know, it's really hard. I mean, people don't realize high school kids aren't conditioned to play every day. I mean, even the college players don't play every day. And so, you know, it's really hard to keep, you know, their focus and everything. And people think it's easy, but when you're 15 to 18 years old and they think that that's such an easy task, it's not. So I just told kids, I said, you got to keep grinding once again, you know, and you have to, you know, play after a doubleheader on Saturday and then come back and play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, and then go to the regionals on Saturday. It's tough for kids to do that, and I'm really proud of them.
Felt great. I knew we would be able to do it, but it's great to win a game like that, tough at the end. We've had a lot of games like this where we've kind of lost the lead late or been down late, but we always seem to come back, so I had confidence we'd win.
Now for you, stepping up to that plate and delivering that winning hit, I mean, what was going through your head during that moment? Just talk about that moment.
It was the best feeling I've had all year.
What keeps you guys motivated every year, and what makes this team so special?
We just want to keep everything going, make sure we don't let people down, play the best we can, win as much as we can. We want to win this and state tournament as much as we can.
Boy, Grand Ledge is something else. That was Gabe Farr talking about his clutch hit in late innings to knock in two runs with a triple and a ninth to help the Comets win 7-4. You heard from Pat O'Keefe on how proud he is of his team, and also John Davids, head coach of Portland, who falls to Grand Ledge 7-4. So today's championship game of the Diamond Classic is tonight at 7 p.m., Kircher Municipal Park, and Grand Ledge will be playing Lansing Catholic. Yes, Lansing Catholic earned their fifth straight, the Comets are trying to top Lansing Catholic, who is trying to win. Grand Ledge is trying to win their fifth straight Diamond Classic trophy. 9 in the past 13 years. Coach Pat O'Keefe, unbelievable. But Lansing Catholic topped Bath yesterday. They won their fourth game in 4 days. 13-3 in 5 innings. So this one didn't even go the entire stretch, but Lansing Catholic really, really put it on them. And they scored. Get this. Lansing Catholic scored, actually, in every inning. So the Bees, Bath Bees, they were trying to make their first Diamond Classic semifinal appearance in history, and they tried to move on to the final yesterday, and they actually, really tough outing for them. They used six pitchers for them. So Lansing Catholic and Grand Ledge go at it tonight at 7 p.m., Kircher Municipal Park. We will be there to give you all the action tomorrow. The Cougars and Grand Ledge, they actually met earlier this year, and they split their earlier meetings in mid-April. The Comets rallied for a 9-8 victory before Lansing Catholic won 4-0 in both of those meetings. So, interesting stuff. So, we'll see if Grand Ledge can pull off some magic again against Lansing Catholic. So, the Tigers last night, they put a hurting on the Rays. This is game one of three. The three-game series against the Rays. The Rays' Matt Moore came in 8-0 to this game. But, man, Anibal Sanchez, boy, he had a run, 4 hits in 7 innings, 9 Ks. Here's Torrey Hunter talking about it.
Anibal, man, he had some good stuff, man. And what did he have, 9 and 10 strikeouts tonight? And, you know, the team's pretty good over there. And he had those guys off balance, you know, the changeup. And that Bugs Bunny changeup, we call it, and the fastball working, the cutter working, slider. He had everything working today.
Yeah, Sanchez was great. So 10-1, the final of that one. And I actually predicted, you know, with my production assistants, Matt Lutkin, Alex Shark, and also my intern, Mike Corey, that the Tigers would sweep this series against the Rays. So far, I'm looking pretty good. All right, looking pretty, pretty good. 10-1. Let's see if they keep that up, though. Torrey Hunter's, who you just heard from, his hitting streak ended at 11 games. Omar Infante, he had a home run and three RBIs. Prince Fielder had a home run and four RBIs. So the next matchup today, Doug Fister versus Alex Cobb. The bullpen, very young, constantly moving. So Jim Leland had a quote saying, "We're trying to use Smiley later on with Phil Coat. We think he's a pretty good chance of getting both righties and lefties out." So the Tigers will try to get things up 2-0 against 2-0 against the Rays. So they looked really, really good last night. 10-1, not even close against Tampa Bay. We'll see if they can keep that up. So, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about this earlier in the show. The biogenesis investigation in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball seeking to suspend about 20 players connected to the Miami area clinic of an ongoing performance-enhancing drug scandal, including Alex Rodriguez, Ryan Braun, and check this out, even Tigers' Johnny Peralta may be involved in this thing. Yeah, Johnny Peralta, guys. Now, in February, Peralta's name was linked to the biogenesis investigation, and Peralta denied using PEDs, saying, quote, "Anyone who says otherwise is lying." After Tuesday's game, Peralta had another quote saying, quote, "I don't have any comment on that. I'm playing baseball right now. I don't try to focus on other stuff." But Johnny Peralta's name is linked in this investigation. What many are calling, if it proves to be valid, it could be the biggest performing-enhancing drug scandal in American sports history. Again, this could be the biggest performance-enhancing drug scandal in American sports history. Really unfortunate for the game of baseball that this has come out. ESPN's outside the lines. They broke this story. And the guy who is giving the information to Outside the Lines and ESPN and MLB, his name is Tony Bosch. He's the founder of the now-shuttered Biogenesis of America. And he actually reached an agreement this week to cooperate with MLB's investigation. So, many names named on this thing. And right now they're saying 20, but there is the potential of more than that. So, you hate hearing stuff like this, especially in the game of baseball, because baseball has been plagued so many years with the whole steroid scandal and really unfortunate stuff. So, we'll see how this turns out, guys. Like I said, this could be the biggest performance-enhancing drug scandal in the history of American sports. Unfortunate stuff. So, all right, moving on. Skylar Berglund, an offensive tackle for the MSU football team. It was being reported earlier that Skylar was going to retire. That was the initial report. But Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team, is saying that's premature thinking. D'Antonio says, quote, "Well, we just have to see where he's at. There are a lot of different things that go along with the injuries that are involved. So we'll see where he's at when preseason camp in August comes." So, not to jump the gun, Skylar Berglund, D'Antonio saying, hold your horses. He may not be done yet. Now, the potential replacements, if he is done, are Dan France, Fufanote, who is, of course, coming off that leg injury from last season. He looks very, very healthy. Donovan Clark and Jack Conklin. And also another update, Riley Bulla. That's right, you saw Riley in that green and white game. He is starting camp at the running back position. So Michigan State really trying to fill that void left by Le'Veon Bell, who, of course, signed a four-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier this week. Riley Bulla will start camp at running back. The man can catch. He's a big body. He's a bang-bang type of running back. So we'll see what happens with that. Spartans in the U.S. Open. That's right. Two former MSU men's golfers qualify for the U.S. Open this week. Matt Harmon and Randall Hutchinson. They qualify in the Woodmont Country Club in Rockville, Maryland. Harmon and Hutchinson were among the eight who advanced through from Woodmont. Pretty cool stuff there. Now, last week reported that Caroline Power, she actually qualified for the Women's U.S. Open tournament. So a lot of green and white going to be seen in these upcoming U.S. Open tourneys. Now, this will be Harmon's fourth career PGA Tour event. He's competed in the 2007, 2008, and 2009 Buick Open, so he's no stranger to the PGA, and Hutchinson isn't either. This will be his third PGA event. He also played in the 2009 and the 2012, the 2009 Buick Open and the 2012 John Deere Classic. So, that'll be exciting to see. Matt Harmon and Randall Hutchinson, they are qualified now for the U.S. Open. Congrats to them. And the Lions signed Matt Willis. They agreed to terms on the contract. Matt Willis has played on the Baltimore Ravens and Denver Broncos. He was initially an undrafted free agent. The guy has many, many tools in his repertoire. He returns kickoffs. He's a special teams guy, receiver. And an interesting thing, I didn't know this about Matt, but he was a former contestant on the TV show Ninja Warrior. I've never watched Ninja Warrior. I have no idea what it is, but that's kind of cool, guys. So he's a former, I've heard of Ninja Warrior, though. I just know what it is. What is he, like, kicking people upside the head? I don't know what Ninja Warrior is. Please enlighten me on that. I have no idea, but he is a former Ninja Warrior participant. That's actually when the NFL lockout was happening. So he played 15 games for Denver last year. He had 10 catches for 90 yards. In 2011, he had 18 catches, 267 yards, and a touchdown. So the Lions now have 14 receivers on the roster, including Matt Willis. And sticking with the news on Lions, interesting Lions news, Calvin Johnson. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but he's helping to produce a film called Real Love. Yes, Real Love. It's a film about a girl clinging to religion and keeping her virginity. And Calvin Johnson is a producer of this. So in the tagline across the top is, quote, one decision could change this deputante's life forever. All right, let me stop. That's the tagline across the top. Calvin Johnson producing Real Love. They asked Calvin about why he wanted to do this. And Johnson reportedly, he said he was involved because he wants to get the film message out there. Now, the film's message is, of course, about, you know, keeping, clinging to your religion and just keeping your virginity until you're married. So Calvin really feels strongly about this, and he wanted to help produce this film. So good job for him, man. I got to go see this. Real Love. I don't know when it's coming out, but that's pretty interesting stuff, to say the least.
And it goes for Carter. Two to Foley. Works his way back in front. Loose puck in front. What is it? Broke his stick, but got it off. And the Kings lead 2-0.
Yes, that was the Kings and Blackhawks in action in the NHL playoffs last night. The Kings win 3-1. The Kings fighting for their lives. Right now, the series is now 2-1, and the Kings have they should just play every game at home, because right now they have an 8-0 postseason home record, outscoring opponents 21-9. They can't score on the road, but they can definitely do it at home, man. So they win 3-1. The series is now 2-1, going into game 4 Thursday night in LA. So, Kings just trying to stay alive, And the French Open, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but Tsonga upsets Roger Federer. That's the 28-year-old Frenchman Tsonga. He booked his spot in the semis with a 7-5, 6-3, 6-3 victory in straight sets over Roger Federer. Man, I remember there was one time when Roger Federer was the man, and now everyone seems to be beating him, especially if you look at Rafael Nadal. I remember there was a lot of, you know, they were kind of in a rivalry there, but there is no rivalry anymore. Roger Federer really just in a funk, to say the least. So Tsonga will now meet world number 5, David Ferrer of Spain. And Ferrer, who just mauled over Tommy Roberto. So, and also on the woman's side of things, Serena Williams. She progressed into the semifinals with a 3-victory set over 2009 champion. Svetlana Kuznetsova of Russia. So let's keep it moving. Reggie Bush. I don't even know why this is news. I mean, I looked on ESPN. This is like the fourth headline on ESPN. But Reggie Bush is talking up the Lions, saying he believes the Lions have weapons to be the NFL's top offense and overall talent to win the Super Bowl. Why is this news? I mean, Reggie Bush, I mean, he has that much clout that he gets the number 4 headline on ESPN for this. But he's saying, quote, there's no excuse for us not to be a top 3 on offense, even number 1, blah, blah, blah. He goes on to say they can win the championship. He believes the Lions can contend for the title. We'll see. The Lions, for the past three or four seasons, have had a solid team. They've always had the talent just about going out there and executing. So Reggie Bush just running his mouth saying, hey, the Lions are a force to deal with. Let's move on. I don't need to expand on that. Last but certainly not least, Stephon Marbury's affair. It's interesting stuff. Stephon Marbury's ex-mistress, she's kind of upset because she hasn't been collecting her hush money. Yes, her hush money. And let me expound on this. Stephon Marbury, who was married to his lovely wife, he ended up cheating with, I don't want to misquote. She was a chef. She was a chef, his personal chef. Cheating on his wife with his chef. And he didn't want his chef to go to his wife, so he said, hey, I will pay you $900,000 if you keep your mouth shut and not tell my wife. That's a lot of moolah. $900,000 if you just be quiet, don't tell my wife I'm having an affair. So he started making payments. He stopped making payments around the $600,000 mark. So her name is Toriah Mitchell. She said, hey, you still owe me $300,000 more dollars. Actually, $331,584.50, actually. And I want my moolah, or I'm going to tell your wife that you've been messing around with me. So she actually took this to court, where a judge ordered him to pony up the remaining $331,584.50. Are you kidding me? This is just a perfect example. I remember Alex Sharg, my production assistant, he actually said, we were talking about why athletes go broke. He may be onto something when he says women, because, I mean, my goodness, $900,000? Oh, man, first of all, you don't say that, hey, I'm going to pay you to be quiet that I'm having this affair. And then second of all, this woman is actually taken to court because you owe me $300,000 more. And she got it. I mean, this is crazy. The land of America. It's only in America, as Don King would say. Bottom line, athletes, stop playing around, man. If you're married, come on. Do better. Stop being a player. My engineer, Aaron, can we play Big Puns just one more time? I don't want to be a player no more. Just stop playing, and you won't get into situations like this, man. All right. Come on, let's hit that thing. I think we got it. Yeah, stop playing, man. Just come on. All right, ladies and gents. Well, we have to move on to our last segment of current sports. We're going to take your calls about any of the topics discussed today. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Hit me up on Facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me a question at Al Martin WKR. We want to hear from you. Stick around. More current sports is next. Stop playing, man.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with the creator of the TV series Arrested Development, Mitch Hurwitz. 6 years after this cult hit was canceled by the Fox network, Hurwitz has brought us a new season of 15 episodes on Netflix. People have been binge-watching it all over.
And so, purge-watching it.
And purge-watching it. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm Al Martin. It's that time when we hear from you. That's right. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. We will talk about anything that's on your mind. 517-355-9527. In the meantime, it's Wednesday, so it's Barbershop Wednesdays. The reason why we call it Barbershop Wednesday is because when you go get a fresh cut on Friday night and you walk in, all the fellas are debating on some type of sports topic. So Barbershop Wednesdays, I'm joined by my super fly production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, as we debate about a topic, just like we're in the barbershop. Today's topic is a pretty obvious one. Steroids in sports. When or if it will ever, ever end. Guys, what's up?
Well, first off, I've got to say, once we get cameras in here, we have to showcase the Superfly Al's wardrobe, because today, listeners, Al is wearing a bright pink button-down shirt and a light pink tie to go along.
I am. I look like it's Valentine's Day or something like right now. I love pink, though. I love pink.
It's Barbershop
Wednesday. I just bought this shirt, man, from Express. You know, I am kind of looking fly, huh? Thank you. It's bright. Yeah, when we get cameras in here, you guys will be able to see all this. But, all right, let's get back. Steroids in sports, guys. I mean, this is frustrating, especially when it comes to the game of baseball, right?
It's getting to be like a broken record kind
of
thing.
Yes,
like,
it is. I'm tired of it, man.
Just every season there's at least one sort of scandal. And, you know, you keep seeing names like Ryan Braun and A-Rod. Although A-Rod, I mean... the most impact he's had on the field is trying to hit on girls in the stands in the last like three seasons. So it's not like he's, you know, a productive player anymore.
Very true.
But it just seems like more and more baseball keeps digging itself a hole. And you kind of respect that they're trying to crack down on it. But, you know, the big issue here that's getting everybody kind of in a tizzy is that, they're kind of trying to impose this power of being able to suspend players without a failed test.
Right.
So if they have their name on the list that they bought things, they're going to suspend them anyway, even if they didn't fail a test.
Yeah, that's the biggest crinkle in this right now.
Which,
even though you bought
like,
the supplies, did you use it? I mean, you would assume that they use it, but there's no proof. So.
Exactly, and this is America, where you're innocent until proven guilty. So,
yeah, true.
I mean, the players' union could really pick that up and run with it if they wanted to. And the worst part about it is, if people get suspended, you know there's going to be that long appeal process that's going to drag this out. And it's just taking away from paying attention to actual baseball. It's all just off the field stuff. Why are we hearing about Bosch more than, you know, what the Red Sox are doing or something? Which, I mean, I never thought you'd hear somebody supersede the Red Sox and Yankees on SportsCenter. But it's like, it's all about just off the field fiascos, and it's getting old.
Well, one thing that interested me, guys, was the fact that, yes, Matt mentioned that the distraction part of the whole report could come into play. But one guy on that list, as you said at the beginning, was Johnny Peralta, Detroit Tiger. Now, this report came out yesterday. Prior to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays game, Johnny goes 3-for-5. Now, I thought personally this would be a little bit of a distraction for Johnny and maybe some other players around the league.
Right. That, very, very, very true. And you know what, guys? When I look at this, for me personally, I'm just going to go out here and say it. It's getting to the point where it's so frustrating to hear about this. And I remember talking to my former boss, Fred Heumann, and Kevin Gill over at WLNS about this. And it's getting to the point why not just make it legal?
Thank you.
Why not just make steroids legal? Because it seems like every other day somebody's using it or somebody's doing it in secret. Make it legal. Make the playing field equal. And just go out there and play. Because I know there's countless players on this list who have taken steroids and are not outstanding players. Of course, you've got A-Rod and Ryan Braun, but... I mean, it's getting to the point where it's just ridiculous now.
I mean, the first player to get tested and suspended for HGH use was Mike Jacobs. Have you guys ever heard of Mike Jacobs outside of the HGH story?
Never.
Never. Exactly. So it's not like it's just the elite guys that are doing it. Everybody's doing it. In the NFL, Todd Sauerbrunn, a punter.
Steroids.
Brian Pittman. Long snapper. Why does a long snapper need to use steroids? I mean, it's not like, you know, extra, you know, but all right. I've got a 2009 survey of former NFL players, over 2,500 of them, and they suspected that 90% of the league was using steroids. 90% they suspected, and 9% admitted that they were using steroids. The offensive linemen were 16% and defensive linemen 14%. That kind of led the way. But it's not just baseball, and it seems like baseball is the one sport where, since numbers matter and historical context matters so much, that it kind of tarnishes the legacy of these guys more so than other sports. But it's certainly not just a problem that baseball is dealing with. It's you know, all sports. It crosses any lines.
Yeah, definitely. I think it just gets more,
more exemplified when it comes to baseball, because, like, I mean, baseball is quote unquote America's pastime. It's a traditional sport that we in America hold dear to our hearts, or at one point once did. Now,
yeah.
And you know, when anything comes out as far as the sport being tainted, in light of this steroid investigation that has been going on for quite some time and keeps on happening, when anything happens like that in the game of baseball, I mean, it rubs people the wrong way.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, here comes the Barbershop Wednesday portion of the show, because I'm going to disagree with you, Al, on the fact that you think that it should be legal. Mm. Now, I'm going to hand it to you, because the definition of an athlete is someone who is trained or skilled in sports, exercises, whatever. So, person that is trained, it's not saying an athlete just has to be out of his own physical abilities, because if it's a person who is trained, he can be trained by others. He can get training help. So, I mean, in terms of your cause here, I definitely see that point. But
yeah.
On the other side of it, do you want tainted athletes? Do you want athletes that, yes,
well, that's
they
the
may
thing.
Have help, but
that's the thing. When you talk about tainted now, I mean, it's becoming the point where steroids are like the norm in baseball. So it's like it's not – tainted is a word I wouldn't even use. I mean – because steroids become so prevalent in the game of baseball where it's become a normality. And anytime anything has become a normality in a sport, you can't call it tainted anymore. This is not anything new. I believe when you say tainted, it's got to be something new that it's just occurred. But, I mean, it's become – I mean, everybody's using it now.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody – my mama might be using steroids right now. I don't know. I mean, everybody's using it right now. You know?
And it's not so much do you want tainted athletes, it's do you want to know how many athletes are tainted, so to speak. Because, like you right. said, it's happening anyway. Whether you like it or not, everybody's doing it, apparently. And
everybody.
And just, you know, if they're getting caught for something and they're testing for something, then they're going to develop something else. And, you know, HGH, the first case was 2011, but, I mean, players suspended for PEDs, 2005, 12 guys suspended, 2006, 3, 2007, 8. So it kind of varies year to year, and it seems like every year there's a big bust, and it seems like this is going to be the biggest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm sure next year you'll see stats that say, you know, not a lot of players are getting suspended for it, and they'll say that they're cutting down, but really, who knows? They might just be using something else that they're not testing for.
Exactly,
and it just
yeah.
seems like with Bud Selig trying to crack down, I mean, don't forget that he's retiring after 2014. So maybe this is kind of one of those things that he wants to go out and say, I stopped steroid use in baseball, and this is his last ditch effort to eradicate it
Could
from
be.
The sport. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen anytime
soon. All
right,
soon. Guys, but look at it this way, all right? Look at how many things that it's a normality between people, but it's technically illegal. Under-the-table jobs, yes, it's illegal, but it still happens. And yes, it's maybe a little bit of an extreme comparison. But I'm saying is I think the law should still be that you can't use it. Whether they can stop it, probably not. Like you said, it's a normality. But I still think that you should keep the law there.
Yeah, well, just because I can see that point of view too, man. Because but like I said, baseball is a sport where it's one of America's most treasured treasures. And, you know, when something, you know, like this comes out where players are, quote unquote, cheating and using performance-enhancing drugs, I mean, to become larger and try to hit the ball further and all that kind of stuff. I mean, but it's getting to a point now, it's just become really ridiculous because everyone is using it and everyone is, and let's be honest, this is not, just because this investigation comes out and they're going to crack down and possibly suspend these players for 100 games or whatever, people are going to still use it. It's
yeah.
still going to happen, and it might be worse next time. You know what I mean? So it's like, why just eradicate the problem, make it legal, and let's move on.
I mean, Ryan Braun, you'd think, he you know, gets in all this trouble in 2011, gets out of it. What is he doing on this list, too? It's like, if,
right.
you know, he got away with it barely, and still took a big hit to his reputation, and now he's back at it. So it's just like, nothing will deter them.
Exactly. Well, before we leave, we want to give a special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, our production assistants, my intern, Mike Corey, my engineer, Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Tim Walker, baseball coach, first-year baseball coach at Lansing Everett High School for weighing in on the lack of African-Americans in baseball. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Same time, same place tomorrow. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Be easy, people.